So it's great to have Mervyn Scott join us this evening as well. So Mervyn, just introduce yourself for folks who possibly are tuning in who don't know you.
Lovely. Well, thank you, Keith, for the opportunity. And hello to all the folks in Hampden Road. Mervyn Scott's my name, married to Karen. We celebrated 28 years marriage there just on the 25th of July. Four children. People in Hampden Road may not know, Dennis and Pat Glass are actually my parents-in-law. Heather McConnell is my sister-in-law and Alan by marriage to her. And Claire Kyle is my sister-in-law too, married to Andrew. So we've lots of relatives in Hamilton Road. That's why we don't go ourselves, but no. We're delighted to obviously be related to all of those people in Hamilton Road, but that's where we come. I'm from Dub originally, married Karen is from Belfast. We met through the work of United Beach Missions, converted at an early age. Keith grew up in a Christian home. Heard the gospel through various means, and the Lord saved me one night in my bedroom at the age of 8. And I suppose at a young age then, sort of 13, 14, got involved in beach missions and other teams. Met Karen through them. We were involved in teams in our early married life. I worked for British Midland at Dublin Airport for about 7.5 years as a flight dispatcher. We went to the Irish Bible School for a year in Colebrook in Tipperary. It was a long way to there, and then we moved from there down to Cork. We worked with Baptist Missions from 97 to 2014 in evangelism and church planting in Cork, and then I suppose late 2013 the Lord began to stir my heart, and we began to go through the application process for this role, application papers, interviews, which all led ultimately to me being appointed as a missions director. Actually, on the 1st of September 2014, so it's almost 6 years since I've been in this role. So that brings you up to speed.
Very good. Thank you, Mervyn. And you're currently in Donegal, along with all of your relatives from Hamilton Road, and you're sitting in your car to get some peace and quiet.
Exactly.
But during these days of lockdown, Mervyn, what have you learned personally, just in your walk with the Lord and as you consider your life in these days?
Well, you know, I think for me what's been lovely, Keith, the Lord's been teaching me the value maybe of slowing down at times, and just spending more time with Him, His Word, and in prayer. And I suppose seeing too that, you know, this whole COVID-19 thing didn't take God by surprise, that God's in control, and seeing God working even in and through the difficulties of the situation. One of the things I suppose I've seen as well, if I can say this, is that that I really appreciate all the work that Joanne Dunson, my personal assistant, does day by day in the Baptist Center. And I was saying to Joanne, you know, that when your working relationship with somebody is good, then a situation like this, actually, the good of that comes out. Whereas if a working situation is bad, then in a sense that bad relationship is enhanced when pressure comes. And actually, I've really appreciated, I would say, Joanne, if you like, has kept from her home, has been able to keep the Baptist Missions kind of administrative role going. And the only thing we haven't done during lockdown that we normally do is we haven't been able to post out prayer news. So for me personally, I think the Lord teaching me, look, the value of slowing down, spending more time with Him, just trusting and realizing afresh that God is in control. He knows what He's doing. He's working His plans and purposes out. And these things don't deter Jesus, who said, "I will build my church." He continues to do that even in the midst of difficulties like this, and that's been a real joy and a blessing to see. And just to come back afresh, Keith, to that which is precious, which is the Word of God, and I suppose just that basic truth that Christ died, you know, for my sins according to the Scriptures, and that my own personal salvation rooted in Him. The joy of that. And the joy of knowing Christ and the joy of belonging to Him. And I suppose when death, if it like, began to come around us during COVID-19, as it still is, and many thousands of people, as we know, have died, I suppose we've been brought back to that basic truth again, that Christ, through his death on the cross, has defeated death, physical, spiritual, eternal. And that although death may come knocking on a door, and one day it will, it'll come knocking on your door, Keith, it'll probably come knocking on mine before you. But, you know, in that sense, that hope again that we have, that real hope, that beyond this life, beyond the grave, beyond the physical death that we'll experience probably in this world, there's a whole new heaven and earth going to be brought into being that we will be part of forever, not because we deserve it, but because of what Jesus has done. And that the Lord has brought me back to that again and again during lockdown.
Very good. That sounds so refreshing, Mervyn, just to get back to the basics, really, and to go from there. And tell us, Mervyn, in the world of Baptist missions in Ireland, France, Spain, and Peru, how are folks doing during lockdown? Obviously, we've heard from some here at Hamelin Road, but how are things going? How's seeing God at work in even just one or two situations?
Well, what I would say is overall, I've been really impressed. And a lot of the guys in the mission are now younger than me. And, you know, a lot of them have far better technical skills than me. And I suppose the likes of Shane Dean, you know, Richard McConnell, others, they've enhanced and used Joel Marcus and Bill Turbert. They've used the technology. And actually, I think they've reached out to a whole range of people, many of whom might never have darkened the door of their buildings to hear the gospel. And so the Lord has used the situation, I think, to reach out to people. And I think in some instances, as they begin to trickle back to meeting, they're beginning to find some of the people who were watching online are beginning to turn up at services now. So God has been at work. And I think that is, if I can mention, just say this, Keith, which may be part of the later on, I think that's something the church, I think we have to learn from, that actually there's a whole lot of people out there who may never darken our buildings. And ironically, I think it's forced the church out of our buildings, which should never be places that we invite people to in some ways. Anyway, we should be the church going out. And I think COVID-19 has forced the church to go out beyond our buildings, beyond our walls, to reach people who maybe might never have come into our buildings. And so that's been a challenge. And I think that's an ongoing challenge we have to try and meet as time goes by. But God's been at work. You know, there's people who have come to faith, you know, during lockdown. There's people who've been called into service during lockdown. We had our missions night by Zoom, and we had more people attended missions night this year, Keith, than ever before. We had our Across the Street Around the World event as well. And again, I think there's been 3,000 views of that on our 2,000 views of that on YouTube and so forth. So it has been difficult. It has been strange. It's been unusual. We've had to adjust. You know, and even ourselves who work at the Baptist Center, that building, in a sense, as useful a tool as it is, and as great an instrument that the Lord has given us to work from, we've had to kind of, you know, bypass it and kind of use other means to communicate and be at work. So, and yet through it all, seeing God at work, seeing God working through His people, seeing God raising up different ways of reaching out with the gospel, and hearing of people hearing the gospel, and in some cases coming to faith, that's just been a real joy to see. You know, in the world of Baptist missions, it's been strange, it's been unusual. I wouldn't like it, Keith, to be this way all the time. I really miss, you know, the interaction with colleagues in the Baptist Center and the fellowship we enjoy, like as we do in church. But it has been wonderful to see how God's been working despite it all and through it all. Probably our friends in Peru have probably faced the most difficulties, and as we speak, they're still going through it. They reckon it's going to peak in Peru in August. We heard the first case of a pastor in Peru, Pastor Jimmy Umani, who lives in Moquegua. I haven't heard that he's going to confirm with COVID, but he has all the symptoms at the moment. But he's the only one so far directly connected to the mission who's actually, you know, been impacted by it. So but we can pray for the folks in Peru over these next few weeks and months. It's going to be very difficult there. And obviously, you know, situations, medical care and so forth is not anything like our NHS, so we could pray for them ongoing in Peru, please, as I know the folks in Hamelin Road do. And I know Elisario, who was there, people are really warm to him, and so he actually wasn't well earlier in the COVID-19, but it wasn't actually COVID-19 that he had, but he's doing a lot better now, praise the Lord, and he's in much better form. So, but keep the folks in Peru, and I suppose many people in Hamelin Road might not realize, Keith, we have about probably 14 national workers in Peru that we support, which involves a seminary, a radio station, a camp center, you know, we have pastors and church planters that we support there too. So there's a great team of Baptist missions personnel. Actually, it's our largest field in terms of people. So please keep the land of Peru. And just John and Lurdy's Brew, who are stuck here in Carrickfergus, they had hoped to be back in Peru on the 1st of April. They're still here. I reckon, Keith, it'll be October, November, maybe, before they get to go back. It's very uncertain at this time. But just keep them in your prayers. Obviously, they'd long to be home. Lurdy's in particular, missing her family. But just pray that when the right time comes, they'll get they get the opportunity to go back to Peru.
So there's clearly lots going on, Mervyn, and it's wonderful to hear. How could folks at Hamilton Road keep up to date, and how can they even get involved in joining in how God is at work through Baptist missions, Mervyn?
Well, the best way to keep in touch with Baptist missions, although you can't do it just at this moment, but we will be back, if you like, on the 23rd of August. I think it is whatever that Friday is in August. I think it's the 23rd with prayer news. And if folks go onto our website, irishbaptistmissions.org, they can sign up to prayer news there. And every week at 3 o'clock, because Joanne's at the helm there, their prayer news will be posted into their email. And you know what, Keith, that is the way. And I know we say it, and it can become a bit of a, you know, sort of a cliche amongst Christians and missionaries and all the rest. But I'm more and more convinced that a lot of the growth and the progress we've seen in Baptist missions over the last few years goes back to those 90 days of prayer we had in 2017. And prayer is definitely the key. And so I'd love to see a whole new generation. The people sitting in Hamilton Road or watching this on the screen in their kind of late teens, early 20s, I'd love to see hundreds of them signing up to prayer news, getting involved. Let me give you one example. We have a 21-year-old lad at this moment, landed in France yesterday. Now, you say to me, Mervyn, is that legal? Yes, it is, because he went as a UK citizen to a green country on the UK's list. Ironically, he flew out of Dublin, but there was no issue with that at all, believe it or not. But he's gone to France, a 21-year-old guy, for 3 weeks to explore the possibility of going there for a year. The Lord, during lockdown, changed his circumstances, changed the situation. He had a burden for France for a number of years, but God has opened the door for him now to go. And there's another young lady, some of you may know, Letitia, who was in the college for 3 years, worked with Gail Curry and Baptist Women. She's going to come on board as an affiliated worker in September, working among students in Marseille. And so again, Keith, even during the lockdown, God's been stirring people's hearts, calling people into mission. And so I'd love to see people praying. If they're praying, they'll be giving. If they're giving, they'll be praying. And also seeing a whole new generation of people being sent by churches willing to go and serve him in France, Ireland, Peru, and in Spain, where the needs are great. But God has been at work and calling people. And so it's been exciting for me to see, even in the midst of all the difficulties, because with communication now, I suppose, Keith, is great. Email, WhatsApp, and so on. Zoom, like we're having this morning. I've had more Zoom meetings in the last, 3 months than I've had two before that over a period of about a year or so. But, even the technology that God has given us in these days has enabled us to do things that we couldn't have done maybe 15, 20 years ago. So praise the Lord for his sovereignty and his care and his timing and all of it.
Yeah, so final question then. What do you think the church can learn from this period of lockdown as we go forward? And you sort of alluded to some of that earlier as well.
Well, I think the thing is, I think in terms of how the Lord brought me back, if you like, to basics, in terms of my own personal walk with him, I think so many of the frills, if you like, that we have in church and all the activities that we do, I think what lockdown has shown is, you know what, some of those things aren't necessarily essential. Now, we need to be praying, we need to be fellowship, we need to be hearing the apostles teaching, we need to be gathering around the Lord's table and so forth. And we've missed all that. We've missed the fellowship of believers. We've missed God's word of the meeting together and hearing it together. But there's maybe so many things, Keith, that we do and activities and stuff that maybe aren't that essential to fulfilling the Great Commission, whether locally in Bangor or worldwide to the nations. And, I think as we learn from lockdown, we say, well, we need to kind of say, look, what are the priorities? What are the things we should be giving ourselves to wholeheartedly, 100%? What are the things that can maybe fall off the wagon? And it won't matter in terms of the kingdom of God. And then, like I said earlier, how can we enhance and use the technology that God has given us today, not to cancel church and stay at home and watch it on the telly, because I don't think that's the right thing, and I don't think that's what we should do. But when we can gather together again, I think that we should still be using that online presence to reach particularly unbelievers who maybe won't darken the door of our building, but they may eventually darken the door of our building having come to faith through something they've heard or watched or seen online. And I think we need to take cognizance of that going forward and be aware of that as church, if you like, globally, and use that technology. The folks in Peru have been using the radio even more to enhance, and Facebook and so forth to reach people in their areas. And to me, we need to be doing that more so here too. And I think that's what some of the guys in Baptist Missions on the ground in the Republic have been saying to them, you know, maybe not every service, but maybe special times of the year, other times, they should be putting more stuff online and seeking to reach out into that online community that where there's so many people who do. The first thing they want to answer to a question, they Google it. And so we should be there with the answers when they Google those questions.
Marvin, it's been great to chat to you. And I hope that you enjoy the rest of your time there in Donegal. And I hope even as you come back into your role, as you press forward, that God will continue to bless the work of Baptist Missions. Can I just pray as
yes. We
close on that? Father God, we thank you for your goodness and your grace and for how you've been teaching us many things during lockdown. And Father, thank you for how you've brought Mervyn back to the basics and how you have refreshed him and how that's overflowing even in this conversation. Father, I thank you for the perspective that you have given him of the importance of the eternal over the temporary. And Father, we do thank you for how you've been continuing to build your church in these days and how you've been bringing people to faith, Father. And we thank you for the technology that Baptist Missions has been able to use to reach out to many, many people in the local areas and across the world. And Father, we do pray for the churches as they begin to regather, that Father, there will be unity between those who were part of the fellowship before and those who are coming in, Father. And we pray that we would see a great move of your Holy Spirit in these days. And Father, we also pray for Pastor Jimmy in Peru, Father. And we do pray that you would bring healing to his body, Father, that your protection would be in him and those around him, Father, that you would use all the local workers there for your glory. And Father, could you help John Lord's Brew, even in his time of frustration of wanting to be in Peru and yet being in Carrick? Father, would you be teaching them and using them in these days? And Father, as we all look forward, as we come out of lockdown, Father, would you help us not to miss what you have been teaching us, but Father, would you help us to learn some of these vital lessons and to put into practice in the days, weeks, months, and years ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Keith, and thanks again to all the folks in Hamlin Road. I know in Hamlin Road we have a church that prays, that gives, that sends. And so thank you from the bottom of my heart for all your interest and involvement in the work of Baptist Missions.
Oh, great. And we'll see you soon down in the Gold Coast. Thanks, Marvin.
Thanks, Keith. God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Well, it's good to have Gail Curry join us, who is a Baptist Women's Director. So, Gail, thank you for joining us. If you do want to just introduce yourself to the folks at Hamilton Road and tell us a bit about yourself and your family.
Well, it's really lovely to be with you. And thank you for the opportunity just to share a wee bit about myself and about the work that goes on in the Baptist Women's Department. We live in Ballymena at the minute. My husband, Stephen, is the pastor of Ballymena Baptist. And we've been here about 2 years, but I grew up in Bangor. I grew up in Silverstream Road, just off the Belfast Road, went to Clandeboy Primary School, went to the girls' high school. So I know Bangor really well. And then when I became a Christian, which was through a scripture union camp when I was 13, a cousin invited me along to Rosemary Park Baptist. And I started going to the youth fellowship there. And I met Stephen at that. And we now have 4 boys. So our oldest son, Andrew, he's pastor of Emmanuel Baptist in Lisburn, and they live in McGabbery, and Andrew and Sarah have 3 children. Our second son, Simon, is pastor in Larne Baptist, and Simon and Shirley have 2 girls. Our third son, Matthew, he lives in Ballyclare, and they have 1 wee boy and another baby due in September. And then we have a foster son, Jonathan. He's 27 now, but he just moved back home during lockdown. He's a painter and decorator. So it's been an interesting time adapting to an adult son moving home again. So that's a wee bit of, where I come from and what our family is like.
Very good. And I'm sure that your adult son has found it interesting. coming home as well. And it sounds as though you have your hands full, even with all the grandchildren as well. I'm sure that's a real delight. Tell us, Gail, how do you end up in your role as the Baptist Women's Director?
Well, we were in Ballymoney in the church there. I was really involved in the children's work, and the opening came up for the Baptist Women's Director whenever Isabel stepped down, and a pastor on the hearing committee kind of phoned me and said, I think you should really think about this role. And I really felt that my gifts lay within children's work, so it wasn't something I'd even considered. But when it comes to guidance, I feel very strongly about trying the door and praying that the Lord will close the door if that's not the way to go. So I really prayed about it, took his advice on board and applied. And here I am 11 years later as the director of the Baptist Women's Department.
Very good. And tell us, even during lockdown, Gail, what are some of the things that you've been doing to encourage and to teach and to train women in these days?
We've had a really busy time during lockdown. Lockdown happened on the last night of our women's ministry course, which was the 24th of March. So the ladies that came along to that course didn't really get to finish properly. And I really felt for them that it was a bit of a miserable way to be finishing off, especially those that had done the full 3 years. So I offered a course on contentment, which we did over Zoom. So we kind of did our homework together, our homework on our own, and then we came together over Zoom and talked about it. And so that went on for 8 weeks. So that was a nice way just to kind of finish off the year for the ladies in that course. We also then did a Bible study on Colossians. We did that over Facebook, and that went on for 8 weeks as well. And then after that, we offered a backyard Bible study with Nancy Guthrie. She has a new book coming out in the autumn, God Does His Best Work Through Empty. And so it was an 8-week study. And Nancy Guthrie has a great way of just bringing the deep truths of God's word across in such an understandable, easily accessible way. And she takes you right through the Bible. She gives you that big picture view of God's word, which is really helpful to see how everything ties together. And she always points us then to Jesus. And the 8 weeks just finished last night. It was an excellent study. We had 650 women signed up for that. I think it just came at the right time. We've all been in lockdown. We've all been questioning what's going on in our world, in our own lives, struggling with the changes. And it was just really good to get into God's word. It was also really good to meet women from all over Ireland, women who are in small churches, who just loved that experience of studying God's word with such a big group of women. And even in the discussion groups, we couldn't have the same people in the same discussion groups because we just couldn't work that out through Zoom. But even in that, you were meeting different women each week in the discussion groups and getting just an opportunity to chat, get to know our sisters in Christ in different places and different areas and different churches and coming from different backgrounds. So that was really helpful. And then also on a Thursday night, we've been running a Christianity Explored for women. We just felt that maybe this was a great opportunity where people in our communities are asking lots of questions about what is going on in the world. And we just thought this was a great opportunity to answer some of those questions through a Christianity Explored course. And we just finished that last Thursday. And this Thursday, we're going to do a face-to-face because it was very hard actually to do that over Zoom and to build up a rapport with the women who were attending. So we've kind of offered a face-to-face this Thursday, which we'll do in a safe way, socially distancing, but just to try and get an opportunity to build up more of a rapport and maybe just to point those women. And they've all come along invited by women from Baptist churches, so we're hoping they'll then get rooted in to the churches that their friends have invited them from.
That's wonderful to hear all that's been going on, and I'm sure you're ready for a bit of a rest after lockdown. And but for some of the women possibly listening on who just weren't aware of what was going on, or their circumstances just didn't allow them to sign up, how can they hear about what's coming up in the future, even to sign up to something similar or to something slightly different and to what you've been doing, Gail?
Well, we do have a Facebook page, Irish Baptist Women. We have an Instagram account, again, Irish Baptist Women. And you can go onto our website, irishbaptistwomen.org. Everything kind of gets posted up on those. If you're not into technology, though, I would say Jenny Wark is probably the person who receives all the information. I send out emails to all the Baptist Women secretaries. And so Jenny would be the one to talk to about what's coming up in the autumn. And we do have opportunities again in the autumn. I'm going to have a wee holiday, just ready for a wee holiday. but then come September, we're going to have a night called Prayer, Praise and Promises, which will be on Zoom. And that's always a really uplifting, encouraging night. So there'll be details about that going out soon. We have a women's ministry course. Again, talk to Jenny about that. She has just finished that course. And Jenny McLaughlin always does a wee bit of teaching on that course too, as does Linda. So have a chat with any of them. That runs on a Tuesday night. And I'm going to do like a back to basics course over Zoom on a Thursday night in the autumn. So yeah, there's plenty of opportunities to get involved in more things as the year goes on.
Great, lots going on. And can I just say thanks for all that you've been doing. I know from talking to Sharon in the office and on our staff Zoom calls that she's really appreciated it, particularly that Nancy Guthrie course that she was part of. And as a church, we've really benefited from the Grief Share course that Nancy Guthrie co-leads with her husband. And she's a great author and teacher. Gail, tell us, just more personally, as you have reflected on lockdown, what are some of the lessons that you think you have learnt in these days?
I think probably the biggest thing I've learnt is contentment. Contentment as our circumstances change. Contentment isn't something that we achieve at one stage and keep. It's something that keeps changing in our different stages and situations of life. So contentment is something we've got to keep learning. And patience is another thing. Patience with technology has been a big thing for me during lockdown. And even patience just in thinking of how do we keep encouraging, well, for me in the women's department, how do I keep encouraging the women in our churches, even while we're in lockdown? So thinking through all those things, but definitely contentment is the biggest thing. And I think even for all of life, contentment is the biggest thing. And the only way to gain that contentment in our changing circumstances is to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus and to keep us our focus on God's word, reading his word and fellowshipping together. I know church has been so different for all of us during lockdown, but we still have those opportunities. Amazing technology through Zoom and YouTube and Facebook, ways that we can still keep in touch with our church family and encourage and build each other up. So I think, yeah, all those things have just been so major during lockdown.
Oh, that's great. And it's great that we can get back to fellowship in person, even on your Christian Explore course, as you shared, and even as churches reopen, there's nothing quite like seeing people face to face and just being with them around God's word. And it's just so good that we can come out of lockdown and gather together again. What, finally, Gail, what do you feel the church has learned or should have learned, because sometimes we are slow learners, but what do you think the church can learn from this period of lockdown that we're just coming out of?
I think, to be honest, in our communities, that lots of people are asking questions about what is going on with the whole coronavirus. Is there a God? How can God let this sort of thing happen? And I think we just have lots of opportunities, gospel opportunities. We can't invite people along to events at the minute, but we've got lots of opportunities with our neighbours, with our colleagues at work, in our families, even just explaining that God is sovereign and God is good and God is still in control of everything. And those can lead into gospel opportunities. And I just think that's the biggest thing that we as a church need to take out to our communities and need to show our communities by the way that we're living, that we do have this faith and we do have this hope of eternal life. And that is what encourages us. And we'd love to see our neighbours and our friends just coming to have that trust in God themselves and having that peace despite what's going on in our world.
Yeah, that's such a good lesson for us, Gail. And thank you for taking the time to join us today and for indeed all that you've been doing and continue to do. Just as we close, can I pray for you and for the work of Baptist Women? Father God, we thank you for the encouragement that this conversation has been. Father, I thank you for the many women who've been impacted during lockdown through the courses that have been run online by Gail and by others. And Father, we thank you for the resources that people have put into Gail's hands that she's shared with others. Father, we do thank you for the technology that we've been able to avail of. And we do pray that as we come out of lockdown, that some of the lessons we have learned would not be forgotten, but that we would continue to seek contentment in Christ. Father, that we would continue to lift our eyes beyond ourselves and to see the world and the people and the souls around us, that they do indeed need to know about the good news of Jesus, that there is a God, that there's a God who loves them so greatly that you sent your only Son to die for them, to make the way open for them to be brought back into your family as children of God. And Father, as the new session approaches for Gail and as new courses begin in person and online, Father, we do pray for your blessing on the work and that women across our churches would be encouraged and that they were growing their faith in these days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, thank you very much. It's been lovely to chat to you today, and thank you just for the opportunity to share with everybody in Hamilton Road Baptist. And I just hope that you continue to go from strength to strength as lockdown eases and as you're able to meet together as a church family.
Thanks, Gail. See ya. Oh. Well, it's great to have Davey Ellison join us as well. Davey's in a new role as a training director at the Baptist College, and he's going to share a bit more about that. But Davey, thanks for joining us. For lots of folks at Hamilton Road and tuning in here, they probably don't know you or don't know your face. So just tell us a bit about yourself and your family and what you do.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Keith. Great to chat to you and great to share with the folks in Hamilton Road Baptist as well. So my name is Davey Ellison, married to Tracy. We've been married for just over 10 years now. I serve as an elder in Antrim Baptist. I'll talk a little bit more about that. I served as an associate pastor in Antrim Baptist before becoming elder. And presently I'm director of training at the Irish Baptist College. So that's quite a grand title for someone who does a lot of different things. And maybe talk about those roles and responsibilities. So that's me.
And David, how did you come to faith in Christ?
Yeah, these can be long stories or they can be short stories.
Short good for the current platform.
Yeah, for sure. Let me try to summarize it. I was brought up in church as a child, going to lots of different church meetings, being brought up in church. So I kind of knew stuff about church and Jesus and the Bible. Had little stickers inside a Bible that I was given, you know, Jesus loves you, God cares for you, all that kind of stuff. But I wasn't regenerate. I wasn't a Christian. I'd just been brought up in that kind of environment. Then whenever I was about 12 or 13, my parents divorced. And that was something I thought, why, if God cares for me, would he let something like that happen to me and my family and my life? So I was really angry at God then through my teenage years, rebelled, turned away from him, from church, from all that upbringing, kind of rejected it all because of the negative experience I'd had in life. And so I really struggled with that through my teenage years. I'd always maintained a contact with church, and it was Carrick Baptist at that time. I had some friends who were Christians in Carrick Baptist, would have been in and out of Carrick Baptist a bit. And whenever I was 18, just finishing school, I heard that they were sending a youth team to Peru to visit the camp centre that Trevor and Christine were working at. So I decided I wanted to tag along. Wasn't a Christian, no interest in mission. I saw this as a cheap way to see the other side of the world. And being brought up in church, I knew what to say to get a seat on the plane, so to speak. Found myself on the plane, but then in Peru, God had other ideas. And he challenged me massively with the life of the missionaries, the life of the local believers as well. And I saw all of the blessings that I'd had in my upbringing in church and how I'd spurned them. And I saw these people who were fighting tooth and nail for the gospel. And that really challenged me. So that summer, 2006, God changed me. Don't have a day, don't have a date. Just know I left school as a rebel and went to university as a Christian. So lots of people grew up in church and then go rebellious when they reach university. I was the other way around and kind of settled down as I went to university. And when I came back, plugged into church and kind of just continued to then grow in my faith after that.
That's wonderful to hear, and I didn't know any of that, so that's even interesting for me, and what is wonderful how God does work. And how then did God take you from there into a call to ministry, a call to go to Bible college, a call to go further into Bible college, a call to then work at Bible college? How has God called you, and have you ended up as training director? Extraordinaire.
Yeah. Long winding road, and not one I had planned. Came back from that summer, that was 2006, started university, studying a geography degree at Queen's with the aim of going into teaching. So alongside that first year in uni, obviously got involved in the church, came home, was baptized, became a member, got involved in ministries, ended up leading a youth ministry, serving as a deacon, having opportunity to teach. And so it was during actually my second year at university, I kind of had a real yearning to go into ministry. I thought, this is what I want to do full time. I want to be teaching the Bible, sharing that with others and involved in people's lives. I did consider dropping out of my degree to go straight to Bible college. After some wise counsel, thought better of that and finished the geography degree before going to the Baptist College. Started the Baptist College in 2010, doing the preparation for ministry course. And my plan at that stage was simply go be prepared for ministry, graduate, and go pastor a church for the rest of my life. That's what I wanted to do. And that's what I thought God was calling me towards. But no role opened up. No church called me. Preaching around plenty of places, but the door never opened. And because that door didn't open at that stage, it was suggested that I keep doing a little bit of study part-time, make the use of that time. So I started a master's. I never intended to do that. Did better in my degree than I thought I would, than I ever did in school and previous degree at geography. But the longer I studied, the more I loved that, the more I grew into that. And that's a journey that's continued. I'm doing a doctorate now part-time as well. And as I continued to study, avenues began to open up in terms of teaching evening class at the college, then teaching a module at undergraduate level at the college. And then I heard that Nigel was retiring, Nigel Young, my predecessor, and it was suggested to me I should consider applying for that position. So I wrestled with that. I was associate pastor at Antrim Baptist, only been there couple of years, 2.5 years, wrestled with that, but talking with others, it seemed that this is where my gifting lay. This was the opportunity that was opening up, and so I pursued that and started as director of training in November 2019. So been in there for about 8 months, 9 months now.
Well, you probably had an easy first year, traversing through lockdown and classes cancelled and distance and what the future is going to be. So I'm sure your head has been fried during the last year. And I'm sure even as an elder in the church, you've gone through this similar things that we have as a church here. And even just as a Christian, you've probably taken a bit of time during lockdown. But what would you say that you've learned personally during lockdown as a main lesson or a couple of lessons that you've learned?
Yeah, it's certainly been a big challenge and a big change. I frequently say that my predecessor, Nigel Young, must be a prophet. He foresaw what was coming and retired early to skip it, because it has been a big challenge for the college, been a big challenge for Antrim Baptist, as I'm sure it's been a challenge for Hamilton Road. And it's a challenge personally as well. You know, your whole rhythm of life has changed and has been altered. It's you sent this question before we met, so I knew it was coming. I've been trying to think about this. I'm going to offer three kind of very quick lessons, if that's okay. Well, one is encouraging. The word of God is not bound. Paul tells Timothy that as he writes to him, that the word of God is not chained. And so it's been so encouraging. Online stuff shouldn't replace and can't replace physically gathering together, but to see videos, the gospel, sermons, scripture being read, reaching people who would never darken the door of a church, that's bound to have been encouraging. I've heard a number of stories of people coming to faith through stuff that they've watched, people who would never go to a church. And so that's been really encouraging and a real lesson that the God's still at work, God still moves, and something like coronavirus can't stop him and the prevailing of the gospel and of his kingdom. So that's been a really encouraging lesson. The blessing of gathering with God's people, missing that, I think that's been a good lesson. Sometimes we take that for granted. Just being able to meet on a Sunday, to be able to meet at a prayer meeting, to have a home group in someone's house. Once that's all taken away, you don't really realize that you're going to miss it until it's gone. And some people are annoying. Some people test you. Some people are hard to work with. But whenever you're not seeing them day in, day out, you miss them. And that's part of God's plan, that we are people who live in community and flourish in community. So it's been a personal lesson. I'm a bit of an introvert. So I would naturally shy away from that. But that's been a challenge that, yeah, I've missed that being in lockdown, that you need that interaction with other people. And then the third lesson is just the futility of human power. We con ourselves into thinking that we are in control of our own lives, that we wield more power than we really do. And this invisible virus has just brought the world to a screeching halt. No matter who you are and where you are, this thing has impacted your life in some way. I think that's a timely reminder. We often forget that we are the creation and there's a creator who is all-powerful. And we often think we're the ones who are all-powerful. And I think that's been a timely reminder just to see yourself in your right state and not to think too much of yourself. And I think coronavirus and lockdown has kind of helped us to weigh those things. So, as I meditated on that question, those are some of the things that kind of came to mind.
No, that's really helpful. And I think all of us are trying to process lockdown. And it does take some time to think through, well, what are the lessons? And I think it needs a bit more analysis than we often think it does to actually process and to take the key lessons out. But we definitely want to be learning. And it's great to hear yours and Gail's and Soupy's and Mervyn's, and I'm sure even in a congregation as days go forth, we'll be sharing with each other. What do you think, Davey, the church can learn? Obviously you're an elder in the church, you oversee training at the college. What do you think the church locally, globally can learn from this as well? Or is it similar to the personal lessons?
Yeah, I think there's obviously some overlap with the personal lessons and kind of applying those corporately. I suppose one thing that I've thought, and I've shared this with the elders in Antrim, we've talked about this, but I think becoming less building orientated may be a lasting impact from lockdown and coronavirus. Heard lots of people talking about, oh, the church is closed, and you know, that's awful. The church building is certainly closed, yeah, or had been for a number of months. We're starting to open them again now, but the church was not closed. The church is the people. And yes, we have to gather physically for corporate worship to be able to encourage one another to glorify God, but the church is still in existence as we're scattered. And I think there's a lesson there just about being less building orientated. And I don't know, like you said, it's going to take a lot of time to process all of this. So I don't know what that looks like or what that means, practical implications. But so often we, our ministries, what we do, when we gather, where we gather, it's all tied up in a building. Some of our local churches have both the blessing and the curse of not having a local building and that's their own. They meet elsewhere in different places and you then need to deal with that. But for those of us who do have a building, I think we come to rely on it too much. And then we wonder why people don't walk in through the doors of our building and hear the gospel and are saved. And it's because we're hiding in the building and there's people outside the building who are never going to step foot inside. So I think there's a lesson there just about pushing our boundaries and our borders and ensuring that we're involved in the communities in which we live, that we're engaging the neighbours who live beside us, that we are not reliant on the building or getting people to the building. The church exists as a body of people who belong to Christ, not a load of bricks and mortar. And I think that's a lesson that we probably constantly need to learn, but I think lockdown and not being able to be in the building has maybe brought that to the fore. And the fact that church has not ceased over the last few months, it's looked different and it's maybe not been ideally as we would want it to be, but there's definitely an opportunity there to become less building orientated, whether that's in terms of just our ministries or whether that's in terms of where we gather, when we gather, home groups, smaller gatherings, evangelistic outreaches that don't necessarily need to take place in the building, all of that. And that will obviously look different for each individual church. So what that means for Hamilton Road will be different for what that means for us here in Antrim.
Absolutely. That's so helpful again, David. And then just tell us, what's the plans for the college in September? Obviously, we can't plan too far ahead, but what are you working towards and how can people even find out more about the college and come to support it even?
Yeah. Well, answer your last question first. First place to go is the college website, which we're updating regularly. There's a blog now that is a little bit quiet over the summer, but come September, there'll be new posts every week on social media. So that'll keep you up to date in terms of events and what's taking place and introduce you to some of the students and the staff if you feel like you don't know them, give you an insight into what life at college is like and all of the information about prayer support, financial support, open mornings later on in the year to come and visit and see the building even if you're not thinking about studying but want to see what the college looks like and get a feel and a flavor for it. Open mornings or open nights are a great opportunity to do that. So keep an eye on the website and social media for information. As for September, our plan is to have face-to-face teaching. I know a lot of universities are going online, but a lot of universities are much bigger than we are and are engaged in a different task than we are. Training of people for gospel service, I think, necessitates a little bit of engagement in class that we would miss online. So we're working towards face-to-face teaching with smaller number of students. So that works socially distanced in our building. We've got rooms and facilities for that. The big prayer point at the minute is applicants. Obviously, lots of people are unsure about what the future holds for them. And that maybe makes people a little bit more hesitant in terms of applying or that kind of thing. At the minute we have 8 applicants, which is great, but we could do with a few more, and particularly female students. We've had 4 graduate just this year, a real good cohort of female students graduating, and we would love to replace that with a new cohort of female students. So you can pray to that end. We've also launched a new program, Gap Year in Theology. So this is a 1-year program for those aged 18 to 24 who are maybe taking a gap year before university or a gap year after university, or are wanting to go into the world of work, but maybe want to do a little bit of theological training before that. So that's a new course which we've launched, and that'll be going live in September. So yeah, if you go to the website, there'll be more information about that there.
Great. Well, just as I say, thanks, David, for all you've done over the last year, and I've been planning for September to train up a new generation of gospel workers. I'm very thankful for the time I had at the college to do masters there, and if I can do it, anyone can do it. So don't feel that you're not intellectually enough to go. There's a lot of help offered, and even somebody who came from a very different background learned how to write an essay, not very well, but well enough to get through, and even just the learning from others is a great benefit to me. So yeah. Can I just pray for you, David, and for the work of the college as we close? Father, thank you for David. Father, I thank you for his upbringing in the church. Father, I thank you for how you spoke to him ever so clearly on that missions trip, and how you continued to lead and guide him, and how you brought him into different areas of service in his local church and then in other churches. And Father, thank you that you brought him to this role where he is seeking to serve you and to help equip others who are training for ministry. Father, I pray for your blessing on his work. And Father, I pray that even you'd help him in his part-time doctoral studies as well to finish that well. Father, I pray you help him as he does the admin behind the scene for the students, as he does the face-to-face teaching, and then even as he rubs shoulders in the cafeteria or in the hallways of the college. Father, I pray your blessing on that too. And we do pray for more applicants for September. Father, I pray particularly for more females to come to be trained up in such an important role and that they can have in the kingdom of God, of being used in many different areas. And Father, I even just pray for the four who have just graduated this summer as well. Father, would you lead and guide them, we pray. And for all who will restart their studies in September or start for the first time, Father, I pray that they would be learning great truths about you, but that would be impacting their heart and their lives as they go into servers are going to other jobs. Father, we pray that they would be fully equipped for every good work that you have prepared in advance for them to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Avery, for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Keith. It's been great to see you in chat again, and a pleasure to be interviewed for you guys. And maybe sometime we'll see you in the flesh.
Well, it's great to have Matthew Campbell join us as well in these lessons in lockdown. Thanks for joining us, Matthew. And we just want to introduce yourself, tell us about yourself and how you end up in your role at the in the Baptist world.
Yeah, thanks, Keith. Good to see you all. Yes, my name is Matthew Campbell. I'm 27. I'm from Ballymena, although recently just got a house in Bangor, so you can all come and visit me soon. From Ballymena, working for the Baptist Youth, which I've been doing for about the last 5 years, which is great. And due to get married at the end of the month, next month, August. Was supposed to get married in April time, but obviously that got cancelled with COVID. So 24th of August, we should be getting married to Annie, who's a North Down girl. Some of you might know her. So that's great. Yep, that's a little bit about me.
Great. And how did you come to faith, Matthew?
Yeah, probably a story that many of you kind of can resonate with. I grew up in a Christian family. Can't really remember a time where I didn't know the gospel. Probably made my first confession of faith at about 6 or 7 years old. And then there were probably two key moments. So that was probably a key moment of 6 or 7 years old. And then probably when I was about 18, when my faith became a little bit more real and I kind of knew what it more meant to be a Christian and to live as a follower of Christ. So to be honest, I'm not really sure which one was the kind of moment I passed from darkness to light. But I would probably point to the moment as an 18-year-old going to university and becoming more aware that the kind of half-hearted Christianity that I was familiar with wasn't really going to cut it. So I suppose that that was the moment for me, which was kind of key in my faith. And then from there, I think that's when I started to really see more progress and sanctification in the gospel. So I suppose it was just a moment of acknowledging that what Christ had done for me, and that he wanted a relationship with me, and it wasn't just about a list of rules to follow. So I probably put it down to that moment as an 18-year-old going to university. That was probably the most formative moment in my kind of relationship with God.
Great. And then how do you end up going from there, from being an 18-year-old at university to now the Baptist Youth Director?
Well, I went to uni and studied maths at Queen's for a few years, which was great fun. And after that, I kind of knew at the end of that time that I wanted to try kind of test the waters of ministry. And so I did an internship with Ballymena Baptist for a year. And kind of part of that was part-time at the Baptist College. And really enjoyed that year. And I kind of sensed that year that I would like to come back to ministry. But I wanted to kind of go and get maybe life experience first. And so I applied to go and do a master's at Queen's again. And I suppose, yeah, through numerous conversations, then this opportunity with Baptist Youth came up. And so I remember being really torn at that point as to whether or not it's something I should go for, or whether I should just continue with the original plan, which was to go and just get a job or do a master's or something like that. So I remember having a lot of conversations. I remember you and Johnny being on my case a lot of time, calling me Jonah, running from ministry. And yeah, just kind of through, I suppose, a sense of prayer, a season of prayer and counsel from others, and I kind of change of desires, really. I find myself applying for that role and then ended up doing it. So I've been there for nearly 5 years and really, really enjoyed it. Been given great opportunities, and it's just great to be a part of God's work in our churches and to work with young people and to try and point them to Christ, which has been great.
And that's really helpful, just how you shared about your call and sort of testing that call and the counsel of others and the conviction that you felt. And just for anyone watching up who is feeling a call to ministry, it's worth continuing to explore what you're feeling and even to talk to somebody in your church about that. And so for you, before lockdown, were pretty busy, from seeing where you were preaching, doing youth weekends, youth camps, youth nights, and then lockdown happened, and it was a difficult, interesting, crazy time for all of us. But what, as you have reflected on lockdown even, and obviously with the disappointment of your wedding not happening then, and probably just other things, what have been some of the lessons that you have learnt in this period of lockdown?
Yeah, I think during lockdown we kind of realized a lot of the things that we already knew to be true and we did believe, but we now really believe them because we've experienced them. Probably the key one that everyone can empathize with is the lack of community. And we probably always would have said that community was important and that, you know, meeting together as a church was important. We always knew that in our heads, but I think for me now, just in our hearts, we really know that to be true. It's like someone said, experience lived is better than experience learned. And I think that's the case with lockdown. We now really know how important community is. And I can testify that from my own perspective. I'm someone who probably is better than anyone else at being in my own company. So in one sense, you would think you could survive during lockdown fine. But I, just after like even a few weeks, I was just really felt kind of the loss of not being able to meet with church family, and spiritually the effect that has on you. I really missed listening to God's word being preached in the flesh. I really missed being able to sing together, and all those things just had a really detrimental effect. And so for me, I was just reminded in a really real way of the importance of community. And so I hope that gives me a fresher appreciation of the local church as we kind of ease back to normality. So that's probably the first thing that I learned. And then the second thing was just reminded of the fragility of the world. The world is a fragile place, and I think sometimes in our sinful nature, we maybe sometimes look at our non-Christian friends or colleagues and we maybe are a little bit envious of them because we see how they're just living for themselves and they're living, doing whatever they want. And in our sinful nature, sometimes we kind of look at that and think, oh, it looks great. But I think with the COVID coming and everything that's happened, I think we've just been reminded that actually the world is on shaky ground. When things like that come, they've got no hope. The world's a broken place. It's a desperate place. And just all the vulnerabilities of just living for yourself and living for the world were really exposed in these past number of months. And so I think as Christians, I've just been reminded that we really do have a great hope in Jesus. Death is the big taboo for our society and our world. But as Christians, we recognize that death is a reality. And so we've got to live in light of coming death. And so I just think for me, I've really missed the community, but I've also been encouraged that, you know, Christianity is earthy. It's real. It gives us real hope for real issues that are in our world and helps us deal with the greatest enemy, which is death, which most people don't want to have to talk about or deal with. And so I think COVID's been good in the sense that it's brought that maybe back on people's radars, and it's reminded us as Christians that we really do have a steadfast hope.
No, that's so great. And then to follow on from that, what do you think the lessons for the church are as churches come out of lockdown and regather, and even particularly in trying to reach and train and disciple and encourage our young people who have had a really difficult time in lockdown as well? What can the church learn, do you think?
I think we've probably learned a lot of things on a lot of different levels. Like even theologically, we've probably learned a lot because we've had to think through things with regards to, you know, ecclesiology, things like, you know, thinking through what the Lord's Supper really is, things like that. We've had to think through a lot, or what church really is, and that's probably been really helpful for us. I think that what I touched on earlier about having a fragile world, hopefully that's kind of invigorated our witness to realize we really do have a good news message to share with the world. So hopefully that will invigorate our witness to the world. I think one of the good things actually from lockdown and doing church at home has maybe been family discipleship. I think that's maybe something that we're not always good at, but I think families have been forced to study the Bible together, and maybe that facilitates more natural discussion around the sermon or around God's word. And that's kind of been happening more naturally now, maybe over lockdown. So maybe that's something that we can learn from and take back into normality as we begin to regather, which I think is a big plus. And then for young people, I think it's probably, I think one of the big things is it's shown us the value of one-to-one and meeting up with young people in small groups. I think, I don't know what the future of youth gatherings is going to be for the foreseeable, or children's ministry, but I think it's taken a renewed interest in young people as individuals, and just remembering that all of us have a role to play in that. You know, it's not just down to the youth leader and the youth worker. All of us have a role to play in supporting and encouraging our young people. And so I think it's a great opportunity now to kind of seize the day and to do that, as maybe youth gatherings in a larger format aren't going to happen. I'd just really encourage maybe church members to take a few young people under their wing and just take a real interest in them, pray for them, send them a text, maybe meet them for a coffee, and encourage them in their walk with the Lord. It's been a really difficult time for young people. They've been just landed with this thing that is very intimidating, very frightening, and particularly for the very younger ones, it's something that their little brains really struggle to get to grips with. And so we want to, again, just point them to the hope that we have in Jesus, and not to be afraid, as the world really tells us we need to be. So I think those are a couple of things that the church has learned.
No, well, that's great. And something for us to really consider and to work through here at Hamilton Road, we consider our children and young people and just our cross-generational approach to things and family discipleship. Super. It's been great to have you join us. We look forward to seeing you in person in the coming weeks or months. And we do hope that you enjoy your wedding day and your move to Bangor. Can I just pray for you as we close, and for the work of Baptist Youth? Father God, we thank you for the lessons that you have been teaching us through lockdown, Father, even just to be reminded of the fragility of life that we see right throughout Scripture, from Genesis 3 to Revelation 20. Father, we do see that in these days, East of Eden, that life is fragile. Father, will you help us to remember that, and help us to remember the great hope that we have as Christians of the new life in Christ. And Father, we pray, even as we've been reminded of the call to disciple our children and our young people, and to pass on the glorious deeds of the Lord to the next generation, to their children's children. Father, would you help us as a church? Father, would you help Matthew as he goes around churches and all the different churches in our country to disciple and to pass on the baton to the next generation? And we do pray for Matthew and Ali as they anticipate their wedding day and beginning life together. Father, we pray your blessing on their marriage and on their home, and then the future that you would have for them. Father, I pray that you would keep them close to you and following the call that you have on their lives. And so, Father, we thank you again for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Matthew.
Thank you.
See you soon.
See you soon.